Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday. It's another Saturday of motivation and empowerment just for you. Shemaine Man Marlon Rome coming to you again live, and we will talk about part two of The Wizard of Oz and African-American Mindset. Buckle in. There is no better love than love for self. So we thank you for joining us again. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. I am Marvin Roan, and I'm your host again, and my co-host Stan Macklin will be coming in shortly. Today we're going to talk about part two of the African-American Mindset and the Wizard of Oz. And so on last week, we had a discussion and a dialogue about the characters and the characteristics, and parallel that to the experience that we have here in America. And so we'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, let's talk about the NAAEA. NAAEA is the National African-American Empowerment Association. And the mission of the association is to ensure that the needs of the African-American community are met through the developments of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower the community. That would mean you to do more, to become better, to become the best people that we can be, to become inspired and motivated and empowered to do the things that we need to do to be successful in this country. And so the idea about the empowerment concept is to be able to look at five areas within the African-American life and experience, and that one would be politics, and looking at the political landscape, how we are effective at politics wherever we live and wherever we are. Two, talking about what it is that we need to do economically. The economic landscape, understanding the economic system, understanding capitalism, and how to be able to effectively navigate this system that we live in. The next would be athletics, which falls under health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. And we have to be able to take care of our minds and our bodies. That's our mental health and our physical health. And then there's culture, talking about the relevance and importance of culture and the cultural heritage that we have and how that is a beautiful thing. We have to teach our children and ourselves to understand the value of culture and how we are to continue to move forward in our lives. And so lastly, there is education. That's a comprehensive education, and we have to educate ourselves, right? We have to begin to recreate and frame the narrative of what our culture will be like and what our history will be like, and compare and contrast that through the experience, but also to be able to rewrite some of the history that we have had to endure here in this country. And so as we continue to move forward, we have to be able to understand that there is a conditioning process that we've gone through in this country. It's just a part of the history from the African-American experience. And again, this show is a show designed completely for and from the African-American perspective. We are having a safe space where we can share our views and our ideas without feeling of retribution or that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, because I think we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to continue to be honest about who we are and how we've gotten to where we are, and then strategies that will move us from one place to the next. That is mentally, physically, emotionally, culturally, socially, and financially. Those are the areas that we must begin to focus on, develop ourselves, and begin the process of learning or relearning who we are. So today we're going to talk about, again, part two of The Wizard of Oz and the African American mindset. And this one is entitled Poppies and Power. Poppies and Power. And so if you go back and look at The Wizard of Oz, there are a lot of things that stand out in the movie, but to parallel the characters of The Wizard of Oz, we talked about Dorothy and her traveling. It was a great conversation last week about that and her experiences, and then we went into the Scarecrow, and he wanted a brain, and we had to talk about the brain and the mindset. Then there's the Cowardly Lion and the courage that he needed to become who he would be. And then also the Tin Man who needed a harp. But there are also some other characters interwoven in this thing, and that would be the wizard and what the wizard represents, and also the good witch of the north and the two bad witches. And then these shoes, which represent power. Right, that one witch had, and then the other sister wanted to get from Dorothy, but she couldn't take her power away from her. She could not do it. And the good witch told the bad witch, "You don't have any power here. Be gone, for another house fall on you." And so, again, she tried to intimidate Dorothy out of the shoes. And it's, throughout the movie, you can see how Dorothy and the crew or her team that she had all had to be able to develop their talents. And so I'm going to talk briefly about just a little description that the Wicked Witch said when they were just about to reach Emerald City and she needed to slow them down. So here's just a portion of it. "And now, my beauties, something with poison in it. With poison in it, but attractive to the eye and soothing to the smell. Poppies will put them to sleep." And if we could look at how we are asleep in so many ways, and this poppy could be a number of things. So I'm going to ask, what are those things? Again, we're talking about poppies and power. The power that exists in this narrative between the witch and Dorothy, between the good witch and the bad witch and the wizard. I'm going to the lines now, and I'm going to start with 9282. It's Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin, Empowerment Saturday. How are you today? 9282, are you there? All right, don't seem to have anything, but I'll continue on and maybe I can get them in just a moment. So we're talking about the Wizard of Oz and African-American mindset. I'm talking about poppies and the influence of what poppies is. And if we know what poppies stood for back in that time and in that day, it was really about the use of drugs, right? The drug of choice back in the day was poppies, which is opium, and derivative would be heroin. And so how has drugs played, or even alcohol, has played in influencing African Americans in this country and in this culture? And so I'm going to try again. 9282, you're coming in live. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now, brother?
All right. You're breaking up a little bit. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. How are you?
Good. How you doing, sir?
So we're talking about part two. What do you have for me?
Can you still hear me?
I think I'm going to have to come back to 9282. 9282, I'm going to have to come back to you because you're a little bit fuzzy there. 0946, Empowerment Saturday. How are you?
Yes. Fine. How are you? Can you hear me?
0946, you're coming in live.
Can you hear me?
All right. We're having some difficulties here today. Nine 2 8 2, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. How your brothers doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, good, my brother. As you said, part two. Okay. You mentioned things that put you to sleep when you started the program just a few minutes ago. And when we talk about things that put us to sleep, it generated a question in my mind that I wanted to ask everyone. And it's a question that we each have to answer ourselves. We have to internalize it and look at it from within us to be real with ourselves. And that question is, why would your slave master, who's enslaved you for more than 100 years, give you a book that would free you from him? And we need to really ask ourselves that question. Why would our slave master, who has had us in slavery for over 100 years, breaking us, teaching us his language, destroying our language, destroying our culture in this process, and there's over 5 generations, totally taking us from being black folk to niggers, why would your slave master, who's kept all knowledge from you up until now, give you a book that would free you from him? And my answer to that, for myself, being honest with myself, my answer to that question is, he wouldn't. He would not. That's part of putting you to sleep. That's part of, I've taken you from, at this point, 100 years prior, you hated my guts. Not because of who I am, but because of what I was doing to you. You wanted to kill me for what I was doing to you to regain your freedom. And now, after me teaching you and developing you and training you over 100 years, I'm going to give you a book that would free you from me. Like my answer is, he would not do that. He now has you, instead of hating him, loving him. Not only loving him, but worshiping him. You know? What you do? That's the question. Why would your slave master, after all those years, give you a book that would free you from him? He wouldn't do it. It's all a part of putting you to sleep and maintaining that sleep, to ensure that you stay asleep. Every time we run or galvanize ourselves from the obvious racist white people, we still run to his brother, cloaked in the book that the master gave us after 100 years of slavery. Why would he give us that book if the book truly would free us from him? That's the question I had.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good question. Hold tight. Let's see what the other callers have, and we'll get to that point. So the brother is saying basically the good book has put us to sleep. Now, I know that's going to offend some people, but again, this is free space to express your views, and we're going to go over to 6050 is the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rona and Stan Macklin, are you available for conversation? 6050.
Greetings, brothers. How you doing?
Hey, fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. This is Patrick. I'm calling just to address the question. Now, I agree with the brother. I don't think that anyone would give you a book or anything that will help to free you if they have you subjugated to them. But just to play devil's advocate and say, what if they did give us the book, and what if the book could free us? And the only way they would give us a book that could free us if we're under their subjugation is if they gave us a book that they were sure that we couldn't interpret. Because it had been changed. But that would be the only situation that I could think of where they would give you a book that could free you if you knew what it really meant or if you could interpret it because it had been changed or something like that. So that's the only other reason that I could think of as to why they would give you a book that could free you.
That's an interesting perspective. If you understood the knowledge that was available, and maybe that's a part of not being able to read and write as a part of slavery and its historical legacy. Hold on tight, brother. I'm coming back to you in just a minute. I'm sliding on down to 0946. Thank you for that comment. I'm coming back in just a minute. 0946 Empowerment Network. Martha Brown and Stan Macklin, how are you today? Looks like I'm having a few technical difficulties on the line today, but we're going to work through it. And so we're talking about the Wizard of Oz and the African-American Mindset, part two, with Poppy and the Brain, the Heart, Courage, and Getting Home. How are we going to find our way back home? And the brother just mentioned the good book being the tool that the slave master used to control the mind. And then another brother came in and said, hey, wait a minute now. It could be that all that we need is right there. And I might add that with Dorothy, for example, at the end, the good witch told her, you had the power all the time, but you wouldn't believe it. You had to experience it for yourself. And so that's where we are now. I'm going back to 9282 for just a minute. 9282, are you there?
Sir.
Okay. So the brother reversed the game and said, hey, let's figure out what it is that the good book is telling us and that we're trying to figure out. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties here, so we're just trying to figure out a few things. But anyway, so the question is what now with that turned over, if that power is in that book, just like the power was in the shoes, how do we then figure out what it is that we need to do in order to use the tools, whatever they are, to become successful at the experience? 9282, what you got?
There is the ultimate power in the truth, okay? That's why the book was taught to us in master's language and not our language. Because, as they say, a lot get lost in translation. And when I'm teaching it to you in my language and you no longer know your language, and I'm teaching you my language, I'm defining all the terms. So what was the truth can now be a lie because I'm interpreting it to you. And obviously for me to teach you a lie, I must know the truth. Okay? And that's why I got to keep that knowledge, that power from you. Because if I ever let you know what the greatness that you really have in you, if I ever let my slave wake up, oh, my God, I'm in trouble.
Well,
so
we
have
so many freedoms now. We have the illusion of freedom now.
Keyword you
just
used.
That we're able to move about.
Keyword you just used.
We can.
Illusion.
Okay.
Illusion of freedom. You think you're free. You know, you think everything I have taught you till this point is true. That's what I want you to believe, because you believe in me. You know, that's the whole point. That's why I said back to my question. Why would your master, after over 100 years of preparing you for to be a good slave for the next eternity, and it took me 100 years to do it, why at this point now am I going to give you a book that would free you from me? No. That book is part of the illusion, in my humble opinion. That's how I answer that question.
Now,
he would not do that.
That book is a staple, right? And we all know it. It's like soul food in our culture. Right?
I understand.
It's, you know, the food not good for you, but it's a part of who we are. And I don't think that you could take, even though we have diabetes and we lead the league in heart disease, and that you could take that food away from us and we'll be okay with it. Hold that, brother. I'm going to slide on over to a new caller on the line. I got 5065. Technical difficulties today, but we're going to work through it. This is the African American Empowerment Saturday, the Wizard of Oz, and the African American Mindset Part 2. 5065, are you available? All right, well, we'll continue on then. Maybe we'll talk a little bit later on. Okay, so we're talking about the Wizard of Oz and African American Mindset. Poppy, the brain, courage, and the heart, and trying to get home. How are we going to get home? They are, we talked about the illusion of freedom here in this country. There's a mindset that has been placed upon us, conditioning. We've been stripped of our culture, our language, our identity. And one of the other brothers came in and said, hey, well, maybe the good book is what it is, that the power is held. And so how are we going to differentiate between what it is that we have that's good for us and bad for us? Just like, again, these things that have been given to us in this culture, whether it's poppies or whether it's alcohol or whatever it is, in terms of the conditioning that the experience is in this country. 6050, coming back to you. What are your thoughts on what the brother just said?
Well, I agree, but I think I agree with what you said. It's such a staple. Now, how much energy do you put into debunking that? How much energy do we want to go into debunking that versus how much energy do we want to put into strategizing and planning and building something to put up against it, to say, here's an alternative. Here's something that we did that's a win against what you're doing over here. So now that people can make a comparison. So that's the question. How much energy do we put into debunking, or how much energy do we put into actually doing something? Because we need a win, especially as black men. We need a win.
Right, right.
Even if it's a small.
That's true.
We need a win. And the only way, this is my opinion only, the only way that's going to happen is if we get together behind closed doors or however, and we start figuring out what it is that we really want. That's the beginning of all of it. The solution to all of it. What is it that we really want? Like Neely Fuller put together, what is it that we want in education, entertainment, economics, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war? What do we want?
All right. What do you think we want? What do you think we
need? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think we need? There's a difference between wants and needs, right? There are some things that we want, and there's some things that we desperately need. What are those things? One that we want to put our energy toward, and then what do we need?
And all those things are up for discussion. You know, you're going to talk, if you get some brothers in the room, some brothers are going to say, well, we need this, and there may be some disagreement. But we do need to agree on what it, what's the end state look like. If we had it ourselves and we could mold this thing any way we want to, what would it look like? What would it look like?
Mm.
How would children be educated? How would we be dressing? How would we, you know, what resources would we have at our disposal? Once we have that pie in the sky, some people will call it view, now we can work a plan to start putting together those pieces. But because there's no clear view of what it is that it's supposed to be in the final state, we're flailing. And everybody's not going to agree, but we can agree at a high level that there's got to be some end state to all of this. There's got to be, okay, this is what we want all of this to really look like. And if we can't figure that out, but how do we put together a plan? A plan to do what?
That's the visioning. That's the visioning. And partly, brother, that's the purpose of this show, is to be able to create a vision, talking about the five areas of impact that I feel in this country we have to be able to understand and master. I'm going to come back to you in a minute. So hold tight there, brother, because I like your point. We have to be able to master and understand politics and the political system, the economic system, the systems that we operate and function in, because they could just say, hey, you guys are free. Go off and do what you're doing without an education in those areas that impact us the most. 0946, jumping on the line. Empowerment Saturday, Marvin Rowe coming at you live. I can hear you.
Go
ahead.
All right, great. This is really a fantastic conversation, and I just wanted to put Booker's act, why would we think he would give us a good book? And then I forget, the other person was saying something about it was a staple. I'm not sure, but you can readdress that. I want to add to that, I believe he would give us the book because we've been conditioned not to get outside the gate. A dog that's been conditioned to never leave something, you can open the gate, he ain't going nowhere. And then with Pavlov's study of conditioning, if you attach the stimuli to the reward, whenever the person hears the bell, the dog heard the bell, then he would start saliving for the food. Well, what we know about intermittent conditioning is that you don't do it every time. It actually increases your motivation to pair the stimuli up intermittently. And what we get in the system is we are paralyzed because of our conditioning. And when we do walk outside the gate, we walk out motivated because it sounds like the food. I mean, it smells like the food. It looks like the food, but it ain't no food. It's just junk.
Mm-hmm.
So we salivating and eating the junk in a conditioned state of mind. I'll give you the whole truth. You can leave this gate. I don't have the electricity on no more, but you're not convinced of that. We don't believe it. We are told that we are told we're kings and queens. We're told we're great. We're told we're mighty. We're told we invented the mathematics, but yet we still don't believe it. Because we have been conditioned, everything's been erased from our memory, and we have been conditioned to not believe in our worthiness, and that's where the black inferiority complex comes from. So if I destroy your want to, if I have paralyzed you in your conditioning that you don't even know how to get out the gate no more, I'll give you anything and disguise it as it's good. It don't matter, but you're going to think highly of me, because it seems like I'm trying to free you. So.
All right. Hold tight, sister. Great point. Great point. All right. So we're in a conditioned state. Can we agree to that? One, we've been conditioned. That's just a fact. That is the reality of this experience. But two, how do you overcome the conditioning, right? So, again, we go back to the awareness piece. When we become aware of our conditioning, the things that continue to drive us down this road, right, that teach us how to behave and how to conduct ourselves, right? And how do we begin to, like the brother said, put our energy in the right places? Where do we put that? And we, again, have to decide what it is that we want. Do we want political freedom? Do we want economic freedom? Do we want to be free mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and culturally, right? Understanding the dynamic of the system in which we live. Oh, it's a beautiful place to live. Don't get me wrong. Hey, it's the greatest country in the world for some people, right? But again, the experience is what I'm talking about. And again, it's talking about the Wizard of Oz and African-American mindset, right? Conditioning the war on drugs, right? We're not bringing the drugs in, but we use them. We sell them to each other. The brain, we need to think clearly for ourselves. The heart, we need a heart for each other, to love each other and have that courage to help us find our way back home. 9282 is Marvin Rome coming at you again live. Talk to me, brother.
Moving forward, what I'm saying about that question is whatever direction we go after we answer that question for ourselves, it has to be based on the truth. That needs to be the driving point, the driving factor.
What is it?
Is
the truth?
True.
What is the truth?
What
is the truth?
We're
going to have
truth.
To figure that out.
Right. Based on
what's
what
true
we can
for
prove.
One may not be true for another. Now we're talking about belief. Right?
No, that's why you got to distinguish
truth.
The truth from belief. It's like that you cannot truthfully say heaven, a place called heaven after death up in the sky, exists. You believe it does, but you can't truthfully, without unequivocally doubt that it exists, we can't make that statement. We can't say 100% certain that once we die, we're going to come back and have life after death. You believe that. But you cannot prove that. That's why I'm saying it has to be based on the truth. We got to come together and say, let's be able to prove these things. Even the Bible says that, prove all things. All things. Yes, it teaches you to have faith. Have faith in yourself. But prove all things. That's what we must do. It has to be tied to the truth moving forward, regardless of that. If it's a stable, if it's an unstable, regardless of whatever it is, we've got to be willing to accept the truth and say, that's the truth. I got to live with it. If it proves my stable of life wrong, and I'm not saying it does, but if it does and it's the truth that it's a lie, then you've got to be willing to live with that truth. And stand up for that truth and stand behind that truth. That's how we get out of our situation. And the truth of the matter is we must unify as a people. And anything that is hindering that unification, we must step aside from it. Anything or anyone. Or we doomed.
All right. Unity in the community. Now, the truth is a tricky thing. It's tricky. It's shaky ground, right? When we start talking truth, and that truth is subjective, right? And that's going to be another divider, right? When you start talking about the good book and you start talking about religion, right? With our people, is going to become a earthquake. It's going to be seismic because the rumblings that come from that. Because, again, whether we like it or not, we are conditioned. We're conditioned to believe certain things, and some of our people have broken out of certain conditions and moving into others. But the whole thing is, where do we go from here, and what do we do today, right? And if we talk about the truth, which is nothing wrong with it, how do we use this truth to move forward? All right, hold on, brother. I'm coming back to you. 6050. How do we use this truth to move forward? Marvin Rome.
I think the brother brought up a very good point. He brought up belief, and then there's truth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, so the truth was, or what we thought was the truth, is that man could not build a rocket that could go up in the air and then return back to the earth intact, standing upright.
Mm-hmm.
NASA said it couldn't be done. The physicist said it couldn't be done. Elon Musk has said, I believe I can do it. And then he went on and did it. So now the truth before, as they presented to us was that it couldn't be done. Now the truth is it can be done.
True.
Because there was a man who believed that he could do it, despite all of the experts, what all the experts said. So that's why I brought
up
the whole thing about having vision. Because once you envision something, and then you say, you know what? No, it's not the truth today. It doesn't exist today. But I have such a belief that I'm going to, me and some other people are going to bring it into being so that it is now the truth.
Okay.
And that's where the power
you know, they say
of
the truth
comes from.
They say the truth will make you free. So we'll have to see. You know, it used to be true that the world was flat to some people. But that turned out to be not so true. But again, it comes back to perspective, and that perspective is objective. I'm come back to you, brother, in just a minute. I got a new call on the line. I like that point. I'm going down to, it looks like triple, no, 4-1, 4-1. Are you there, Empowerment Network? You're on the line, call live. Going once, going twice. I'll check back in with you later on, 0946. You there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear
is
me?
The truth? Yeah, I can hear you. You're on live.
Okay.
The truth.
I can you hear me? I can't tell if you can hear me or not.
Yeah,
okay.
I can hear you.
I think that part of when you were saying, well, the brother was saying, what is it going to look like? And if you've been captive in a perimeter, then only thing I have to do is increase the perimeter to give you the illusion that you have more room. And so the scared part, Harriet Tubman said, I could have freed more slaves had they known they were slaves. It looks like it's scary to be outside of the gate. We're not comfortable out of this gate because we've been conditioned. So we go back inside. They make it easy for us on the inside. We don't have to go outside because we would rather eat the slop on the inside than take a chance and get the real food on the outside because we're so conditioned. So I think that I think the brother talking about what is it going to look like if you keep that same metaphor in place. Some say we need to leave the gate and go and sup with them. That's the integrationist. Then there's the separatists that say we need to separate ourselves from them. And so I think it is important. I don't think you can do anything until the integrationists say, okay, I'm an integrationist. I'm going to work on this. The separatists and nationalists, I'm going to work on this. But by doing that, you are at least getting a picture of what it's supposed to look like. So as a separatist, what does freedom look like? And we have to decide what we think it is because we really don't know. We've got a good idea maybe. And the integrationists got to talk about why they believe integration is important. And then people have to make up their own mind and decide what works for them. Because some people, when I watched the movie Harriet, when Harriet came back to get her sister, she said, Harriet, don't judge me. I can't just leave my children. I just can't leave. Don't judge us that can't leave. So I think we're all in different spaces around our freedom and things that in our minds that prohibit us or even circumstances prohibit us. Because when you've been poor all your life, you've never been exposed to anything. For me to tell you that you was kings and queens don't mean nothing. I have no way of even understanding that concept because I'm in a starvation mode. So I can't even talk about going and enjoying a dinner because I'll eat anything right now. So the perspectives are so many. We're no longer monolithic. We've never been. But when we were in slavery and we were in segregation, we were at that time more monolithic than we are now because it didn't matter what your profession was. You were still black and could get hurt outside your community. So I think it is important that we talk about what it looks like. So maybe, and I'll end with this, having a conversation one day on what does it mean to be an integrationist and what does that look like? If we're going to be a separatist, what does that look like? And maybe that could be a way of trying to kind of carve out a space and some templates and give us something to dig our teeth in and really have a conversation around what do we think that'll look like.
Well, that's true. And again, so we're talking about the Wizard of Oz and African-American mindset, right, and that conditioning. Because
right.
we know
yeah.
we've been clearly conditioned. And so you can be a president of the United States like Barack Obama. You could be now a senator who has moved to the vice president potential role, and they're talking about her in terms of her citizenship like they did Barack Obama. So we don't have a truly, I would say, African enslaved ancestry in political or in politics that are representing our people that
wow.
come from the heritage and the root of enslaved Africans. There's always somebody else outside of that heritage. It's just true. But again,
true.
Going back to the condition and the reality of the truth is that the truth is subjective, one, and two is what you believe to be true is still subjective. So some
right.
people have really prosperous lives believing in Islam. Some people have really productive lives as Jehovah's Witness. Some people have really productive lives being Buddhist or practicing Hinduism or Christianity. I think what's right for individual is what's right for individual. I think we have to be able to understand, and I think, and I use this term, is that we, like in war, have theaters, right? They have fronts that you got to fight on. Every front ain't for everybody, right? And I'm going to say it
right.
just that way because we're talking to our people. Everything ain't for everybody. You got to figure out what fits for you. Right, what works right for your children, right? Because at the end of the day, when they pull you over, you're going to be black first, right? And then the rest comes from there. So you have to continue to work at this thing. What is the conditioning that we have to work through now, right? So as we continue to grow, what's going to be the political thing? What's going to be the economic thing? What's going to be the social thing? And how do we continue to enhance ourselves? I'm going back, sister. I'm coming back to you. I'm going back to 9282. What you got, brother?
I want to just say this. The belief that we talk about, that I talk about, is in yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in myself. If I don't think man can do something and will never achieve something, that is because I don't think I can. So the belief is in yourself. It's in us. When I'm talking about truth, like in the discussion of the staple and so forth, either Jesus existed or he did not exist, true or false. Okay? Did God make the world in 7 days and sleep on the 6 days and sleep on the seventh day? True or false? Did that happen or not? Is there a heaven up in the sky and a hell down below or not? True or false? I'm being told this story and all these stories. I'm just saying the truth of the matter is what you're telling me the truth. Okay? Is one day there going to be a revelation that you say there's going to be? Was there a Sodom and Gomorrah? Was there an ark that truly got flooded and only Noah and the two of everything was on board and we decided to try again? Did those things happen? Either it did or it didn't. It's true or it's not. You know, that's what I'm talking about when I say the truth. We must be honest with each other. We must be honest to truly come together as a people. We got to be truthful. Is that Bernard's baby daddy? He the daddy or not? I mean, we got to come on. Can't play games with
Man,
the truth. We know,
it's
you know,
tough,
it did, you know, keep
sledding.
It real. Huh?
It's tough sledding when you start talking politics and when you start talking religious and when you start talking about beliefs. It's tough. And when you start talking about somebody's wife or somebody's baby daddy, man, people take that stuff personally. I'm a whole tight brother. I've got a new call on the line. I like that. We're going to have some skirmishes on beliefs, but it has to happen. 7244, a new caller to the line. 7244 coming in live. What you got for me?
Hey, what's going on? Peace and power. Peace and black power. How's
hey,
everybody
peace
doing?
Peace and power, brother. I'm doing fine. We're trying to work this thing out.
Man, I think, like the brother just said, because we have been miseducated for a very long time. And that's just a reality, even here 2020. When you look at the root core of politics right now, everybody's talking about politics, okay? How much mm-hmm. they're going to go vote, how much we need to vote. But the reality is that when has voting worked for us most? We've been voting for a long time. Right. But when can we say it has worked? And if it's not working, we need to go back to the drawing board. Just like we're saying, like the brother said, hey, you told me to pray to Jesus and everything was going to be OK. You told me to pay my tithes. We were supposed to go. I've been, you know, in the church for like 15, 20 years. I'm not in there now. We sang many praises to the Lord. We got on our knees, and black folk out of anybody doesn't have the money to put in that collection plate. But we've given the church over $1 trillion since the 80s. But how has this created jobs in our community? How has it gotten our children out of seat? A lot of times down the road from the churches where all the violence is going on. So when we're saying we're praying, maybe ask ourselves a question. I'm definitely agreeable with what the brother said, even myself included, because sometimes even though we make it out of the church, people still can be fooled and still miseducated. But I'm the one that actually believe and know, like the brother said, believing in myself. First thing, we have to look at knowing our ancestors, right? Knowing those people that actually paved the way, because you wouldn't be here if it were not for those that paved the way for you, right? So it's like we have to give props and homage to those whose shoulders we are standing upon and lifting up those works, just as the European does. He has money circulating around with his ancestors on it, right? So we have to now create a history, create this knowledge rather than believing in a thing. We have substantial, circumstantial evidence that can prove, hey, we are these people. Our people, we can say African, black people. I know my people come from the continent of Africa. That's why when I look at my relatives here in America, they just look just like Africans on the continent. There's no reason, but when we start believing all this other stuff, you're thinking that just because you're over here with the white man, some reason you are separated from those people that know we as black people have been treated badly for centuries, a long time, and we come from the richest place resourcefully on the planet, Africa. That's where everybody goes right now to rape and to pillage and to steal their stuff, whether it be cell phones, rubber, diamond, gold. They go back to Africa. So as Malcolm X said, you know, you have the naysayers say, well, hey, what did I leave in Africa? Where you left your damn mind in Africa? You understand? It is important to go back, ask the questions, and ask, well, hey, why am I going to church and I'm seeing this white Jesus at the back? Because I went to a church, and in the back of the pulpit, while the black preacher was preaching, it had a picture of a man with long, straight blonde hair, blue eyes, and pale skin. So that didn't even go with what the description has as the Son of Man, with the head of wool and the skin of bronze. So even with that, let's go upon it. Let's go rather than, and I want to go back to what the brother was saying, because in the middle of belief, it is the word lie, right? Lie is in the middle of belief. I think it is very important that we do go back to understanding nature. This is we have to understand our ancestors to understand who we are, because they are part of the creative process that created you. Some people skip past their ancestors and say, well, hey, I know God. I know the person that created the whole universe. How is that the case? And you can't even tell me your daddy's name. You can't even tell me your mama's name, but you're going to tell me that you know God and you know the relationship. You don't know the fact that water is in your body, air is in your body. So these things are relative to you as well. These are your kin, okay? So understanding how the Creator works, how we define ourselves within the Creator, then we can look at ourselves more of the master rather than being the slaves. Because right now here in 2020, we're still waiting on somebody to deliver us. I got so many black people to say, hey, rather than going out there fixing it ourselves, we just going to wait on Jesus. And that thing hasn't worked. We'll wind up killed in the church. Where was Jesus then? Why is it that Jesus doesn't allow these white folks to get killed, and they're the ones that are promoting the blasphemous image
that is going against what's in the word. So I would think if nine people were to get killed, they would be getting killed. But these are questions that we can't be afraid to ask. Just as the brother said, to see if to be responsible in trying to get a resolve and a resolution to these problems. We've been seeing these problems for how long now? We still got brothers and sisters being hung, right? These things are still, we've been praying for a long time. We've been giving to the church. We even go to the mosque. So what is really going to work for us? And I don't think hardly anything is working. So I think we need to definitely sit down at the table and go back to the drawing board so we can get some workable solutions, family.
I heard that. All right, brother. You said a lot. Hold tight. Hold tight. Man. Now, listen, right? We family, so we got to have a conversation, right? This is going to be coming to the table time. If there is some things that we have to face that we just not going to like. It's like some good witch hazel or some of that good castor oil that you're going to have to get to be able to move forward, right, to get better because we need to heal. We're going to have to be able to face some things that we don't want to face. We're going to have to look at some things that we don't want to look at. We're going to have to talk about some things that we don't want to talk about. We're going to have some conversations that we just don't want. I don't want to hear it. But how can we grow? How can we change? And how can we have a better understanding of who we were and who we are if we don't take the time to identify the situation that we find ourselves in? This, again, is a conversation purely for African Americans, right? Whether you like it or not. Some people are going to listen to this and not like it, and I'm sorry. But some people are going to listen to it and say, you know what? Let me look at this a little bit further because in order for us to grow and change and become empowered, we're going to have to look at ourselves. I'm going back to 6050. Coming to you live. I'm Marvin Rome. Talk to me. That was awful. What you got, brother?
First of all, the sister brought up a good point about including people. Like I said initially, and I think we all agree, that there needs to be some meetings to put forward a vision and then put forward a plan based on that vision. But that's not something for everybody. They've done a study on revolutions, and they figured out, and what they came up with, they studied all the revolutions, 5% of any population that started the revolution. And then they have these other studies that said so many after the revolution was started, then so many other people came on board, and then after the revolution was over, then the rest of everybody else came on board. So it's not this is not an endeavor for everybody. An integrationist can believe what they want to believe. And if they can prove that this is the best, then show us, right? So right now we're in a show-me mode. Who can do it? Not talk about it. Who can do it? Now, as far as religion is concerned, trying to go back and prove a false narrative, it just takes a long time. To go back and prove or disprove whether a guy crossed a river 2,000 years ago going east or west, or east to west, or whether he was going west to east, we can have that conversation for the next 100 years. That happened 2,000 years ago.
True.
How much energy do you put into that as opposed to progress? And I'm not against it. So if there are people who want to take that on and have those debates and discussions, I think if that's what they think that they can get something out of it, then that's great. I want to put something together that's an alternative. I want to put something next to it and say, hey, everybody, we got this village over here, man. It's got the latest technology. The schools are great. The children are learning advanced science at a young age. These things are going, you know, our engineering is great. We got that going over here so that people can compare what we did or what we're doing to what's going on everywhere else. And that they can see
it.
They can see it, not us all talking about it. I mean, somebody can talk about building a doghouse. If you and I get together and actually do it, now we can compare our doghouse against their talk of doing a doghouse.
Right.
Which one are people going to gravitate to?
True.
Right? So we need to show.
The real deal is knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, and we need to gravitate to something that's going to give us power. And I think the brother's right in terms of knowing who you are and knowing yourself. I thank you for the comment, brother. I'm going to slide down. I got one more caller to get in. We're running short on time. I really appreciate great knowledge. Hold on a second. All right, I'm going back to this line one more time. 1111, you're on live. You got 2 minutes to get this thing together. Talk to me, Marvin Rohn, Empowerment 365, Empowerment Network. Are you there?
Hello?
I'm talking today. All right. Yeah, hey, talk to me, caller.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think there's been a lot of good points that have been made on the phone today, and I think when we think about strategy and, again, how we collectivize, I think to one of the other callers' points was talking about, you know, you can have people in a space and you give them more space, but they don't want to go out of the boundaries, and I think that's really key about how we operate, because even though, you know, we don't want to go out of the boundaries because we're conditioned to think that that's all the space we have, it's a deficit mode. And I think that's the same way that it shows up in our education system and other ways. And not only do we not want to remove ourselves from the space because we're scared, but we tend to fight each other for the very meager resources that we have. And we're okay with that. So instead of trying to get out and get other resources, crab in a barrel syndrome and fight each other for the resources that we do have. And so, again, thinking about how we get out of that mindset, right, and how we continue to sort of create community where we can build each other up, because often too many times we're fighting for resources. We can have much greater resources, right, if we do go outside the gate and we step outside of the box instead of fighting people for what is sort of given to us versus what we can get and take and acquire when we get out of that. And so I think that was just a really important point, that as we think about strategies as a community, right, we have to think about how are we going to get people resources to feel secure to be able to move past their fear.
Wow. Great point. Thank you. Thank you, Carla. Okay. What's the strategy? What's the plan? We could talk all day long, right? And we need to. We need to have a dialogue, but like the brother said, we need to have a vision that we're going to execute. What is the vision? What is your vision, right? So I'm narrowing it down now to everybody who's listening to this conversation, whether it's on demand or whether it's live. What's your vision for your future? What does life look like in terms of what it is that you are all about and who you're going to be? And how can you then, once you identify that, expand out to become the best person that you can be, to reach out and grab somebody else? We're fighting over resources that aren't ours. We're killing each other in our own communities. I got 30 seconds. The question is, how are you going to do what it is that you need to do to better yourself in the community? I thank y'all for calling today. A great conversation. Share this with your friends. The question is, what are we going to do? Right? We have to decide that. So all of you guys who called in today, thank you so much. We had some technical difficulties, but we made it through. Listen again on demand. Go back and listen to some of these things. NAAEA is the National African American Association. Check us out on the website. Talk to you soon. Love y'all.